Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael.
All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast. I'm your host, Spencer, joined by Michael.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. Welcome back to another episode. We don't have a lot of great news to talk about today. Oh, well, you know, baseball. Baseball had some good news.
Won several
games.
Good
success. Some good successes. But I just think it's interesting that this is not the first, nor will it be the last time that the main man over there, Spencer, is wearing his David Yost Hair Raid t-shirt as we record this podcast.
Yes, sir. I probably mentioned this last time we recorded, or there was a time the past couple of weeks I wore this shirt and somebody pointed, I was like, is that David Yost? I was like, yeah, man.
You bet it is. This is a collector's item.
He was like, well, what did he say? The dearly departed or something. I was like, yeah, man. So yeah, we've got a podcast full of bad news. So if this is not your show, later. No, I'm just kidding. Basketball season to recap, give our impressions on the tournament games Friday and Sunday. Look at the team, give our assessment, how we feel after the season's over. Where do we think the team / Chris Beard should go next? Look at baseball, more spring football, you know, practice has started. Our man with elite lettuce is on campus.
Oh, just,
I love that quote. Thanks, Kyle. We'll always and forever refer to him as someone with elite lettuce. excuse me. And then get to, some things that we learned. I'm dealing with a little bit of a sinus infection following last week's dust storms in Lubbock.
Oh, I can't see that having affected you at all.
No, my nose, my sinuses were perfectly fine. Yeah, man, it sucked. It was the worst Sunday, Monday. And Monday, actually, and this is, so we're recording on Wednesday a day late because Michael texted me at like 10 o'clock last night. He's like, hey, are you okay? We didn't ever record. I was like, yeah, I totally forgot.
Well, I was legit kind of worried because I thought this has never happened before.
No, I'm always like Tuesday, it's podcast day. I'm the one, I have to remind Samantha because she always forgets. And we have like, no, it's podcast day. It's podcast day.
Well, I knew you had Little League. And I thought, you know, based on your track record at Little League lately, there's usually been some injury.
No, there was no injury.
And I thought, oh no, I hope Grayson's not hurt. And they had to go. I mean, I was coming up with all these scenarios in my head as to why I hadn't heard from you. But I'm glad that all it was just, it slipped your mind. That's much better than, no, we had to go to the ER. This awful thing happened. Like, oh, okay. Something slipped your mind. That's cool.
No. So
got it.
Yes, there was an injury. No, it wasn't to Grayson or our team.
I knew there was an injury.
Another kid got hit in the face. And like, this is a recurring thing that happens in, I guess, coach pitch. Really quickly, runner on the other team had got to second base, and we threw the ball. It was on a four, so we're trying to get him out. So the kid threw it kind of hard. Second baseman missed the ball, and it caught this dude right on the nose.
Oh man!
And the throw was coming from third, so like it wasn't too far away, and the dude puts his arm behind it. He was fine. So he left the game to get an ice pack. Anyways, he came back and finished the game. He's fine. So what happened Monday, I spent the entire day in jury duty, or the jury selection process. Voir dire, some of the West Texans call it. So it threw my whole week off. At least that's what I'm blaming it on, because it just didn't feel like a Monday. Because I legit spent all day up at the Civic Center Theater, where the Lubbock Symphony typically or had played before the Buddy Holly Center.
Mm, yep.
They had, I guess under the state Supreme Court had gotten permission to use that as an official courtroom for the jury selection process. So they brought in 70 of us prospective jurors. Your boy was juror number 26. So I was the front third.
Mm.
Had a pretty good shot of making the first 13.
First round draft pick.
But so here's what happened. The DA was going through and say, hey, this is the case. This is who we potentially could be calling to the witness stand. Let us know if you have any connections to these people. And they had a huge witness list. Knew nobody, which is fine. Then they said, here's who we have in our offices. Do you know anybody? And sitting up there, I recognize this guy from an umpire that I used to call games with 10 years ago. So,
like a really tangential.
Oh, dude, so tangent. Except like I also saw him at Little League tryouts in January. So like I had just seen him. So it was one of those things where like I couldn't not disclose it because we had discussed it. We made eye contact as we came in. So like he saw me, recognized me. I was like, oh, hey, what's up, man? So it's the DA's lead investigator for this case. So they were asking, do you know anybody? I was like, yeah, I know the investigator. He's like, how do you know him? I was like, well, we were Little League umpires like 10 years ago. They're like, do you think you could be impartial about any of his evidence produced? Like, yeah, of course. I don't whatever.
It's like, no, I mean, he's
my best friend.
He's my blood brother.
Which, unsurprisingly, like, people are trying to get out of the jury duty, like, yeah, I went to high school with that guy and I would never believe a word he said. In terms of like witnesses or whatever, it's like the thing that frustrated me. So I sat there until 4:45 when they announced the jury selection. I was not part of it. They picked a handful of people in front of me and handful of people behind me. So it's not like they filled out the 12 or 13 jury before they got to jury number 26. There was a bunch of people behind me that got selected, which means I was not selected. I was like, okay, if you eliminated me because I knew your investigator, let me go then. I could have gotten so much else done in my day. Like, not forget it was Monday.
That's
long
right.
Story short, I forgot yesterday was Tuesday. Also had a baseball game. Anyways, it's wild. Today's Wednesday. We're moving on. I was, if you're a follower of the show on Twitter, which we'd appreciate at 23 Personnel, you will notice I was quiet during the game on Sunday. I was watching it with family and was not going well. I mean, it was in stretches, but I was like so in the game. I was not going to be like messing with my phone as well. I don't even think I was like in the group chat very much.
No, I think that's the way to do it, but I just can't resist it. Sometimes I watch the whole first half without being on Twitter or, you know, texting friends or chatting with y'all or anything. And then the second half, I don't know why, but I just like went all in, got the tablet out so I could type faster and check things more, and was just like, oh, I don't know. I just kind of overwhelmed myself with takes and opinions and got myself a little bit more fired up than I probably needed to.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that in a second. Like I said, follow the show at 23 Personnel. You can follow me, Punts Suck. Michael at Michael_LBK. You can also follow us on Instagram, 23 Personnel Podcast. Need to remind everybody, Homefield Apparel has a Texas Tech line. Homefield Apparel. You get a 15% discount on your first purchase if you use promo code 23 Personnel.
That's right. That's right.
Cop you some of that goodness. Like I said, we'll also talk basketball, like the games, season wrap up, and baseball. But guys, you know that as one of our newest sponsors on the podcast, you can pick up the very best sneakers at eBay Sneakers. From rare dead stock to the latest release, you can find the exact sneaker you're looking for on eBay. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. In partnership with eBay, Armchair Media, we'll be raffling off 4 custom-made sneakers. Each purchase you make before March 31st, which is a week from today, through ebay.com/sneakers, will enter you into a drawing for a one-of-one pair of Air Force One low tops. So not only is there a raffle, there is a giveaway. To get in on the giveaway, just screenshot your receipt, send it over to @armchairmedia on Twitter or Instagram.
Friends, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. NBA is in full swing. College basketball heats up as the schools make their way to the madness. Sweet 16 fires up this weekend. So the tournament is here, as you know, and so is the $100,000 Bracket Madness contest, as BetOnline is the spot to be for all your bracketology needs. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's 50%. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Yo, my bracket is destroyed.
I haven't even looked at mine. My phone randomly started all of my apps, or several of my apps, when I tried to open them, they would immediately crash. And I blamed the ESPN tournament challenge app, because that was the most recent one I did. And I haven't checked it. So I have no idea.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to basketball.
Here comes Stevenson. Spins.
Over the top of Polnick, and a crowd stripped by Owens. Ready on the run. Bounce pass. Here's Culver.
Evans.
Yes. Game over.
Mooney with a crossover and the lob to Owens.
Now the shot clock is at 3. Mooney spins, fires. Oh, he got it to go. Edwards with a 3. Good. What a shot, Kyler Edwards.
Ready, doubled into Tariq. Oh!
So I still can't decide if I want to cut some new highlights into that from this year. One, you're not going to hear the crowd reactions like you did in those recordings.
That was the thing. I'd gotten so used to the last 8 or 9 months of sports in relative silence, or kind of weird piped in, or, you know, I got kind of used to it, and then it would throw me off completely when I would hear highlights, even when you play this intro, or, you know, when they were showing highlights of the last tournament, or, you know, all these different things where they would show them on TV. I'm like, gosh, that's how these arenas used to sound.
Like the announcers would be screaming just to be heard, and they have a microphone in front of their face.
Yeah. Yeah. I think when Hacks comes up on some of those baseball ones, you know, there's been several times, for whatever reason, in the last 3 weeks, that it seems like I've seen replays of full arenas and just gone, oh my gosh, I missed that. I missed that. That's how that's supposed to sound.
Yeah. So Texas Tech was the 6th seed in the South region. You lined up with 11 seed Utah State on Friday, 12:45 on TNT. Texas Tech wins this game comfortably in the second half by 12, 65-53. I think the halftime adjustment was stop driving at Cato.
Yeah.
Dude racked up 6 blocks in the first half. Cato is obviously their 7-foot center. Nemias Cato. I don't know. He played the entire 40 minutes. Like, he did not come off the court.
No.
And the way he played in the first half, you like, yeah, why would you take him off? Game plan changed a little bit. Stopped going after him. He finished the day, though, with nearly a triple-double. He had 11 points, 13 rebounds, 7 blocks.
The dude was swatting stuff into the stands. I mean,
at one point, they were counting how many rows up one of his blocks went into the stands.
Yeah, I mean, he had a decent day, 5-for-8 shooting. It's not like Tech did not shut him down. They limited him a little bit. That's kind of what we hoped they'd be able to do. And by a little bit, I think I saw when Dan had the Q&A with the Utah State blogger that I think Cato's last 5 or 7 games, he was averaging 20 points. You know, and for the year, he averages 15. So he was rolling in pretty on a pretty hot streak. So the fact that Tech held him to just 11, you know, he only got to the line once. It's been, you know, they did their part. You know, the other thing they did that we were not really that worried about, but it has been a pattern this year, is just Tech did not get beat on the threes. I think Utah State, I mentioned it last week, was 33% coming into the game. Well, they shot 21% on Friday, including 12.5% in the first half. So really ice cold from three. That always helps. That's a nice change of pace for Tech teams to face. So yeah, no one, you know, we were, I'm not going to say we were fortunate, because after that crazy run with Shannon basically kind of taking over the game, either with steals and shots and everything, midway through the second half, I'm not going to say we were fortunate, but you know, the fact that we didn't let Cato beat us, and then the next high point guy, Justin Bean, had 13. You know, we really didn't let someone not named Cato beat us, although they did have quite a few open looks at three. They just fortunately were not going in. 4-for-19 on the day. Yikes.
Yeah, and that's something that we kind of pointed out. Is like, that's not their offensive style, is just to shoot threes.
Right.
It was Bean, Cato, and Cato and... is either Anthony or Anderson are their big contributors. On Friday, it was Anthony more so than Anderson. Yeah, so Cato had, what was it like, in their first little run at the beginning of the game, he hit 2 shots back-to-back and was also really involved on the defensive side. You're like, oh man, here he comes, right? At halftime, you go in down 23-26. You had a little bit of a lead. Then Utah State went on a little bit of run. You were able to close it. Second half, completely different. Like I said, your offensive system, at least your identity, your idea of how you're going to score changed, because it was not going to be driving at the 7-footer. You scored 42 points in the second half compared to just your 23 in the first. Part of that has to do with some depth. But you also held Utah State to 27. So they scored 26 and 27. You scored 23 and 42.
Another big number here is the turnovers. Tech turned Utah State over 22 times.
Yeah. And what was it like? It feels like there was a big stretch there, at least like the second half, where there weren't any turnovers. Like there was, I can't see the halftime breaks for turnovers, but like it, I think they had 13 or 14 at halftime. And they were able to clean it up a little bit and only surrender 8 or 9 more in the second half, which is a game for Texas Tech, but 22 right, turnovers.
Which was concerning, because, you know, to have that many turnovers in the first half and then go down by 3 into halftime, you're thinking, oh, well, surely they've got to get hot at some point.
Well, yeah, Texas Tech as a team shot 28% from the field in the first half. That was your biggest thing. You were 9 of 32. Second half, you were 17 of 30. So you took fewer shots and you made almost twice as many. Your free throws were about the same. You were free throws, your three pointers. First half, you're 3 of 8. Second half, 4 of 10. You only shot 8 free throws in the game.
Yeah, and they shot 10. There weren't a lot of,
which is fine. Like this
it was a quick game. That felt like that game was over fast.
Tournament basketball. When you look up and you see Doug Sermons is officiating this game, you're like, holy crap, not again. And then you get 18 combined free throws. You're like, I can live with that.
Yeah, that seems pretty balanced.
Yeah, so there were no issues for me in that game. I was like, you did what you were supposed to. It took a little bit longer to figure out what you wanted to do against the size of Utah State. Arkansas, though, like you were coming in favored, but it was like 1 point favored. And this game was billed as like identical defenses going head to head. And they weren't identical, but they were both strong, defensively minded teams. I would say Arkansas had a much better offensive attack to go with it, which I think we covered in the preview last week. You lose this game by 2. Again, kind of like, even though the game was as close as it was, both teams had like huge, huge runs. I remember Texas Tech, they were down what, like 10, 11, 12 in the second half.
They had a 13-0 run, I think, at one point, or during, if that's what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And then went on this big run in just a couple of minutes. Like, well, from what I felt was, okay, the game's over and like Arkansas is going to kind of coast here. Maybe that would have happened in the regular season, not in the tournament. Texas Tech is able to close it. And then it's within one or two possessions the rest of the way. Mac McClung misses the front end of a 1-1. What was that? Second, third, or fourth to last possession? I can't remember. It was real late in the game. And then you get two back-to-back really good looks on layups that would have either tied or taken the lead. One from Shannon, one from Edwards, I believe. Not that singling them out is really any good, because it's really not on the players. Like, the team was able to get the offensive looks that you would have wanted in a one possession game.
Yep.
There were some people that were criticizing Chris Beard for not taking that timeout there, especially when Kyler Edwards had the ball with like 10 seconds left at the top of the key. And it looked like he had just run into like a player was about to lose the ball. It's like, maybe you take a timeout there and kind of reset things. But we've also seen Chris Beard this season, at least, not do that. He didn't do it in Austin. It worked out. You want to let your players do what they do. I don't know if Chris Beard and his staff are like super great at coming up with out of bounds plays. It just doesn't seem like something we've seen.
I know. Do you remember, was it whatever they drew up for Culver in the national championship game was just kind of like a prayer of a corner three?
Yeah.
And yeah, if he'd have made that, my gosh, that would have been incredible. But that was a super tough shot. But he had to take it because the clock. Anyway, I'm with you. I'm not really concerned about it. I'm not. You know, I feel like Shannon and Edwards were both probably hoping for the foul there. I think both of their layups were pretty strong. Yeah. They were just trying to. It felt like they went pretty high on the backboard because they were probably expecting to get hammered. And then they kind of, I don't think they did. So I have no issues with that. You mentioned McClung's missed free throw. Right before that, McCuller missed a free throw. I think he was a two, he was a shooting foul. So he missed his second shot. But I got hung up on those free throws, and then I realized those are the only two free throws they missed the entire half. Tech went 9 for 11 in the second half and just happened to miss those back-to-back ones in crunch time. And so we're obviously dwelling on those, and I'm talking to myself to just kind of chill out on that a little bit.
Yeah. So like, you look at the missed free throws and the missed layups there, but like you said, you shot 9 of 11. In the second half, you would take 82% from the free throw line in a half. I don't, and one of the defenses I was taking of Chris Beard is like, I don't know if he would have gotten a better look than you did with Kyler Edwards at the rim with seconds left. Like,
yeah,
I don't know if you get a better shot. I doubt it. And I'm okay that like, that's where the ball ended up. That's who had it. That's who took the shot. Like, I'm happy with that. He missed it. That happens. I mean, you can't make every dang shot. You made 36% on the night.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was a really, if you just sat here and looked at the stats, you're going, how'd Tech lose this game? You know, Tech shot 36%. Yeah. Arkansas shot 42, but Tech shot 50% from three. Arkansas shot 23.
And you're about even in free throws.
Yeah. About even on free throws. I mean, turnovers are about even. Arkansas with eight. No, they were both nine.
9 and 9, three blocks to Arkansas, only had one.
Rebounds, 38 Tech, 36 Arkansas. I mean, it was as even as it sounded, except for the runs, which was just insane. I got completely disheartened with about 9 minutes left on the, I think it was on the fast break dunk that got called with a technical because he pulled up. Arkansas player pulled up.
He kind of like,
I was like, ball game. That's it. I was emotionally checking out to try to save myself from staying up all night worrying about this game. And then sure enough, they fought back and got right back in it, which of course they did. But I wasn't feeling it at that point.
No, and I was with you. Like at that point, I was like, I agreed. It was like, man, it just doesn't feel like you're going to be able to come back into this. So you finish the game, or you finish the season losing in the second round to Arkansas. Like at the time, I was frustrated and hurt. Like this, it sucked.
Yeah.
But you were a 6 seed playing a 3 seed. You lost by 2 points. You won't look around the rest of this tournament and seeing all these huge major upsets, or Kansas playing in a 3-6 game and losing by 20 points. Like, what the heck was happening up there? I mean, this is not a Kansas basketball podcast. I don't really care. But like, there's no shame in losing the way you did to who you did. Sure, we can nitpick. And I mean, there's not much else I want to talk about besides Santos Silva. And I don't want to be like the guy that always rails on him, because like me and bro have a disagreement about who we would want on the roster there. The biggest thing, I think you saw him just vanish. Like he did not play a large stretch of the second half, especially down late in the game. Chibuzo Agbo got a lot of minutes, at least for him.
Yeah.
I mean, he got 10 minutes. I would have loved to see more than 1 minute for Tyreek Smith.
Well, and I would have loved to have seen some productive minutes from Burton. Yeah. I think Burton came in and turned the ball over every time he came in.
He played nine minutes.
Including a backcourt. I'm sorry, Burton and family and friends. And I won't rail on it because I know stuff just happens. But I don't know if I've ever seen that blatant of a backcourt in a D1 game.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, completely crossed it, turned and then. And then passed it just obviously as could be to, I think it was McLung that hurt.
Like benefit of the doubt, he probably looked and like, it's like, I shouldn't do this as he's letting it go. Like,
oh, I'm sure.
He's like, what the heck am I doing?
We have probably all been there at some point if anyone's dribbled a basketball. And I think kind of what we're getting at here is right after the game, I was pretty hot. I was pretty disappointed. I chose just not to tweet hardly at all. And then I read this from Norrence Odiasse, and it really kind of put things into perspective. And I wanted to read this with you guys. He tweeted that same night. He said, I'm not ready for the quote, run it back next year tweet just yet. These boys battled, man. Canceled tourney, canceled workouts, canceled games, canceled life. It felt like to go through all that to get back to this stage. Warriors, man, I am so hurt for these men. And so that brought me back down to, okay, this was an insane year. Everyone had the exact same insane year, but the fact that this group of guys still managed to get to this game, you know, through the first round for sure, get within a layup of possibly getting to the Sweet 16 in this kind of a crazy year. So yeah, I mean, as far as the players are concerned, they're absolutely warriors. I'm with you on that, and I don't want to sound too down or too negative, but we have reached that point as fans where we are blessed to be here. We know this. We're fortunate that a second round exit is, you don't want to say unacceptable, but it is disappointing. You feel like, man, there was more in the tank. We were so talented. We had just a few things bounce this way. We could have this or we could have that. And you can say that without being negative. You could just, oh man, it was just right there and almost had it.
And I know that's something we talked about coming into this season. Sweet 16 may have felt like the goal, the floor, especially when you consider the talent. And then within a week of the season starting, you lose your McDonald's All-American, Namari Burnett, and Joel Ntomboy, who has been sitting on the bench waiting for his chance and played three games. And then you dealt with trying to, you know, piece this team together again with all the things you just mentioned. It just, I don't know. I disappointed that we lost in the second round. Grateful to then realize that like our expectations are so high now after only a couple of like really good years with Beard. Like this is now the expectation, which has not been the case for Texas Tech ever.
It's a crazy thought. It's really fun to think about the same conversation we were probably having about Tech basketball when they went to the tourney with Tubby Smith, and it just felt like, oh man, you're just glad to be there. You're just thrilled. It's unbelievable that they made it. And then, you know, here we are 6 years later thinking, well, you know, I mean, it wasn't Sweet 16, but I guess that's okay. Kind of thinking. And it's just all about perspective, which I believe Odiasse put very well, a lot better than I could have said it to.
Yeah. So if you, to make yourself feel a little bit better, you want to look around the Big 12 a little bit. First round, everybody in the Big 12 won except for Texas.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I don't care for Abilene Christian. I grew up around Abilene. I do not care for them, but this did not hurt my feelings.
Lost Abilene Christian. Abilene Christian has since lost as well. So they've been eliminated, but Big 12 goes 6-1 in first round. Second round, unfortunately for the Big 12, everybody else except for Baylor lost. Oklahoma, yeah. Oklahoma State, Kansas, Texas Tech, West Virginia, all eliminated in like 24 hours. It was rough. And then you look, like I said, you look around the brackets, you see kind of the path that has been paved for Baylor and Gonzaga to meet up in the national title and just the one versus one. You're just like, oh my gosh, like the path couldn't be easier for them. Cause you look around like who's left to challenge them. Like Loyola is an 8 seed.
Oral Roberts,
Oral Bob, as a lot of people like to get in on. Arkansas plays Baylor. I mean, I think that could be a good game. I don't know, man. So, so overall season impressions, I think we kind of settled on disappointed on the results on Sunday. Not surprised. Where do you see room for improvement moving forward?
I definitely, and I think we've talked about this a lot, even today, we've already mentioned it a little bit, but I think we need a big man. We need a legit big man. And just some size. I'm not sure, because small ball can only get us so far. It feels like anytime we come across a team with a lot of size, somehow we were able to manage it against Texas. I'm still unsure how that worked out 2 out of 3 times this year with the size they had, but Kansas definitely had the advantage. Pretty much every team we played in the Big 12 almost had a some sort of size advantage. So I really think that's where Tech should focus. That was the one tweet that I mentioned after the game, was that, you know, Beard, he might be browsing the transfer portal this evening with a taquito trying to find a big man.
Can I?
And I would like to see more Tyreek. Oh my gosh, I totally blanked on his last name.
Smith.
Smith.
Can we just call him Reek?
I know. I usually said Tyreek and it threw me off.
I know he doesn't need my help, but I want to point Beard's nose towards Chapel Hill, North Carolina. All right.
Oh, what's going on? What's going on over there?
Former five-star freshman Walker Kessler, center, transferring from North Carolina. Five-star center, 7'1", 245. His season numbers aren't so great, but if you look at, that's probably why he's transferring. There are a lot of people saying that Roy Williams was kind of forcing things for another player to get the playing time that Kessler probably should have gotten. But you look at a game he played in the ACC tournament versus Notre Dame. Dude, like Kata, but against, you know, Notre Dame instead of Texas Tech. Very nearly had himself a triple-double, like 16 points, a dozen or so rebounds, and like 8 blocks. No. Other way around. I think he had like 8 rebounds and 12 blocks. It was like,
oh, that's insane.
It was backwards what you would have expected. You're like, yes. I inject this into my veins. The problem is a lot of people are saying, oh, he's probably going to Gonzaga, which I wouldn't doubt. I don't follow the transfer portal all that well, except I looked at the Gonzaga roster when somebody said that. Our man, Ryan Mainville, said, oh, he's probably going to Gonzaga. I looked it up. Gonzaga has, well, currently on their roster, they have 2 7-footers that are underclassmen that play minutes. They have 2 more that are 6'10 and over. One of those is Timmy, who's going to be going pro. But there's that. They also lead for the number one recruit in the country this signing class, which is also a 7-foot center. So I find it highly unlikely that they will have 4 roster spots for 7-foot plus centers up in Spokane.
Yeah. I mean, share the wealth a little bit.
Now they do play with, like, they have one of the biggest rosters I've ever seen. I was looking at it. I was like, good gravy. Like you think about, like, it's the inverse of Texas Tech, right? They have like 1 or 2 guards that are 6'3" and under. Everybody else is 6'8" and above.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Everyone on Tech's team is 6'7" or below that plays. I think PV might be listed at 6'8". I can't remember.
Which feels generous.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I would welcome, I think we're on the same page here. I would welcome the presence of a big man. I really think that's going to be a difference maker. I think Santos Silva did exceptionally well for, you know, his height in the position that he was in, forced to go against these larger guys, forced to play some volleyball basically and slap the ball out to the top of the key and hope someone in red or black caught it, as opposed to just grabbing it, which I understood and it drove me nuts at the exact same time, but there wasn't a lot of option there. So I would welcome a big guy. I think Tech could use it, but I'm not going to expect it because Beard has yet to really, he's pursued a few, he's gotten a few, and then he's let them go.
Yeah. That's the other thing.
Or he's never played them, or vice, you know, or both, you know? So I really don't think it'll actually happen. It was just kind of seems like a good idea to us who do a podcast and watch a lot of Tech basketball.
Yeah. I mean, you've got a 7-footer on campus now and you don't use him.
Well, he's not, he's green. He is so green. I don't think he's, I but think like he's still a year or two away from playing meaningful minutes.
But that's not Chris Beard's roster style. Like, he doesn't bring on projects. He brings on guys that are ready now, and he keeps guys that are contributing.
Yeah.
Like, I would not be surprised to see Vlad Golden leave because he's not going to have playing time. And Chris Beard's not the kind of guy that's just going to hang around with a guy that's not playing.
Speaking of transfers, you know, we talked about who we might like to see come in. You've already kind of started the list. Who do you think might transfer out?
Golden.
Yeah. That wouldn't surprise me too much unless he's willing to stick around. I mean, he may not be able to latch onto a roster somewhere immediately. Unless Chris tells him to. Chris. Why am I? I don't know him. Beth I'm Spence. Sorry. First name.
So I know Burton was a surprise that he got eligibility this year. I don't think he would leave, but I don't know if he was supremely happy with his role.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't think Tomboy would leave after that saga from the year before, but here we are.
I would hate to see Tyreek Smith leave or Agbo leave. But I think both of those guys could make a case. Santo Silva as a senior still has the opportunity to come back because I think everybody's allowed this year of eligibility back. McClung should be back. Shannon should be back.
Yeah, I mean, there's talk of them declaring, but I don't see a lot of traction there, especially with McClung, with the way his productivity really went downhill the last 7 or 8 games. Shannon kind of helped his stock a little bit, I think, in the tournament, but I don't know if it's enough to declare for the draft and get on a roster.
And then Nadolny, I mean, he did play a lot of minutes for Texas Tech, but maybe he wants to go somewhere where he could be, you know, a starter. And I don't think he's going to be a starter at Texas Tech.
I don't know if he's going to either. I mistakenly thought that before the year started. I thought he would crack the starting five at some point, and he never did. And it's worth mentioning too that Beard stuck with Shannon starting over Peavy, what, the last 3 games of the season? I think he did that against Texas as well in the Big 12 tourney. So this is what we've come to expect with these off seasons with Beard. There's going to be a lot of turnover. There's going to be some movement. There's going to be some last minute stuff happen. So we'll just go on that ride and see where we wind up in October.
So what's funny, looking at the roster really quickly, there are positions listed there, which are kind of iffy in Beard system anyways, but Micah Peavy is listed at a guard, 6'7", 215. Tyreek Smith is listed at a forward, 6'7", 220.
Yeah. That 5 pounds makes you a forward.
5 pounds differentiates a guard and a forward here at 6'7". Marcos Santos Silva is also listed at 6'7". McCullough is at 6'6" as a guard. Agbo is listed as a guard at 6'7". So
for the most part, the tallest guy on the court all season was 6'7".
I mean, there's nobody over that.
Except Golden,
who's 7'1". He played 15 minutes, tops, maybe.
Yeah.
All right.
Could use some size. That's all I'm saying. That's all we're saying.
I would love some size. With that, I think I'm ready to wrap basketball.
I think I am too.
And it's one of those things where, like, with the way that Beard churns his roster, like, we won't really know what to do or talk about until October. And that's a long time away.
But we could speculate, and speculating sure is fun.
Yeah. So guys, until then, Bet Online is the fastest and easy way to bet on all of your sports action. NBA's in full swing. I was watching the Mavericks take on Culver and the Timberwolves before jumping on here tonight. College basketball heating up in the March Madness. In the Madness, is what I was going to say. Tournament is here, and so is the $100,000 Bracket Madness contest, as BetOnline is the spot to be for all your bracketology needs. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
And as most of you know, eBay Sneakers is a new sponsor for the podcast. From rare dead stock to the latest release, you can find the exact sneaker you're looking for on eBay. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. In partnership with eBay, Armchair Media will be raffling off 4 custom-made sneakers. Each purchase you make before March 31st through ebay.com/sneakers will enter you into a drawing for a one-of-one pair of Air Force One low tops. Just send a screenshot of your purchase to @armchairmedia, or you can even send it to us at 23personnel on Twitter or Instagram, and we will get you entered into that drawing.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
All right, Michael, let's hit the diamond. Talk some baseball.
Left field, well struck. Desloney picks it up on a bounce. He's racing for second. Throw! Out at second! Young lifts it to right field. Looking for a second home run. And he's got it! Into his own bullpen!
Reps. Some time because all the tools are there.
Wow, this one launched deep left off the bat of Warren and into the bleachers. There it goes. And the pitch is driven and deep to right. Kerstad to the wall. Off the top of the fence. Here comes the big foul. Cameron Warren's going to motor home from first. Throw the third is late. And the Red Raiders have reclaimed the lead. Popped up. Trevor Boone.
All right. So speaking of playing the Cowboys, you hosted your first Big 12 conference series this past weekend against the Pokes from Oklahoma State. Unfortunately, your 14-game season win streak came to an end Friday when you lost 2-0. That Oklahoma State starter was just a little bit salty.
Yeah, sure seems like it. Well, I mean, it's not like Birdsall didn't.
No, Birdsall.
I mean, he pitched a heck of a game. He pitched what, into the seventh or something.
Birdsall's coming along. Birdsall went a full 7 innings.
Sheesh.
Which I think is his longest.
I didn't know he went full 7. I thought he went into the seventh, but I didn't know he made it out.
Yeah, I think it's the furthest he's gone to a game. Parker Scott was a starter and winner for Oklahoma State. He also went 7 full innings. But if you look at the lines, man, it's hard to say. Like, I mean, obviously when one pitcher gives up 2 runs and you lose 2-0, it's easy. But like, their lines are so similar. Parker Scott, 7 innings, 6 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 9 strikeouts. Birdsall, 7 innings, 2 hits, 2 runs. Only one of those was earned. 1 walk, 9 strikeouts.
Yeah, really similar.
Birdsall threw 94 pitches. Scott threw 106. So you lose that game. I think I'm a lot more confident in saying that Birdsall's probably locked down that Friday night spot. You know, a week ago we were saying, I don't know yet. Like, he's getting there maybe. I like Micah Dallas coming in to take that spot back. But I think we've seen now with Birdsall kind of solidifying that Friday night spot, Dallas is that key, late, long inning reliever that Tadlock will call on in really high leverage situations. And he seems to really excel in that role.
Yes. Which is a great segue to the next game.
Yeah. So you roll into Saturday. You end up winning Saturday. Sorry. 4-2. Patrick Monteverde is the starter and the winner. He's now 4-0 on the season. Micah Dallas gets the save. You score 1 run in the third. Oklahoma State ties it up in the fourth. You then put up 3 runs in response in the fourth to take a 4-1 lead. And then you go scoreless for 4 straight innings, 5, 6, 7, and 8. And it got a little hairy. You got some guys on base on defense in that 9th inning. Oklahoma State was able to scratch a run across to get to 4-2. But like I said, Micah Dallas came in, close it out. You only used 2 pitchers that night. Patrick Monteverde goes 6 full innings, gives up 6 hits, 1 run. Only 3 strikeouts, which is a little low for him. 86 pitches. Micah Dallas goes 3 full innings, gives up 3 hits and a run, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts, 2 wild pitches, though, on 47 pitches. So you like that efficiency, 3 innings and 47 pitches. You maybe want a few fewer than that. But on the other side, Robleski from Oklahoma State, their starter, 6 innings, 5 hits, 4 runs, 2 of those earned, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts on 100 pitches. And Campbell comes in, goes 2 innings, only gives up 1 hit and 1 walk. I'll kind of touch on your offensive players a little bit more when I talk about some interesting stats that the team is kind of putting together. But let's just say right now it is Jace Young's baseball team. Just.
It seems that way. Yeah. That doesn't surprise me at all.
At least with the bat in his hand. Your pitchers, I think your starting rotation of Birdsall, Monteverde, and Montgomery, like, they are so solid. Like, that's probably the most solid 3 you've had since you had both Gingery and what's his name? Why can't I think of his name?
I can't help you.
The other starting pitcher that you had for a couple of seasons that was just dominant. But even then, that there's Sunday guy. I think that was also one of those years was the Dylan Dushek and Ryan Shetter combo.
The Dushetter, yeah.
The Dushetter. But this year, your weekend rotation is salty. Then when you look at your relievers, you're really happy with Micah Dallas. You really like how Andrew Devine is coming on. Still a little shaky. Connor Queen is probably going to be your closer when it comes to those close games that where Dallas is not pitching. He currently leads your team in saves. Ryan Sublett, also out of the bullpen, following that opening weekend, has really kind of gotten a handle on things. Sunday and the rubber match going for the series win. You come in, you score three runs in the third, two more in the fourth, one in the fifth. At that point, you take a 6-1 lead. Oklahoma State is able to score two in the sixth and then two more in the ninth. Again, things getting a little hairy. That was even worse of a situation to be in on Sunday. Because you did get the bases loaded. You did, I believe you walked in one of those runs. If I can pull this up really quickly. Yeah, ninth. Well,
I completely missed all that because it was probably about the seventh inning. It was the eighth inning when I switched from listening to the baseball game to watching the basketball game. And so I just was like, oh, okay, you know, it's 6-3. Sounds like everything's going to be all right. And then I think at halftime I saw the score of the baseball game and thought, holy cow, they barely got out of that thing.
Yeah. So in the ninth, one of their batters reached on a fielder's choice. Had a runner advance to second, one, and then an error. That runner got to third. And then Mathis on five pitches walked to with the bases loaded to score to get it to 6-5. Derek Bridges is the pitcher of record at that point. He does come back to strike out the final batter and earns himself a save. So you do get the series win versus the Pokes, and you have some kind of ridiculous advantage over Oklahoma State and like all sports going back for a couple of years. Like, so you lost the two basketball games this year. You've lost two baseball games. If you count one on Friday, then one going back to the Super Regional. So four games and like 20 something matchups. Like I don't have the numbers in front of me. So it's something ridiculous like that. So you get that. You were one of only two Big 12 conference series this past weekend. So there's not a lot of Big 12 only stats, which we'll talk about here in a second. I think Baylor and Oklahoma were the other teams that played. This upcoming weekend, though, really quickly, you're going to be hosting South Florida Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But like I said, I want to talk about some stats, though. In the notes, I've got a link to these, but Texas Tech is third in the Big 12 in batting average. And that includes three of the top 10 batters in the conference. Chase Young, Drew Baker, Cal Conley, your shortstop, second combo, and then your left fielder. Normally batting 1-2-3 for you, or 1-2-4, depending on where Noisy is, who's held up a little bit higher in the batting order than you would typically see based on what he has been able to do for you in years past. He's been struggling a little bit. But if you go to the pitching side, you are fifth in the country. Fifth in the conference in team ERA. So this is every pitcher. Monteverde is third in the Big 12. So the third best in terms of ERA at 0.93. He did give up a couple more runs or one more run on Saturday. Opponent batting average for Monteverde is only 160, which is good for second in the Big 12. In his 29 innings pitched, he is giving up less than one walk per nine innings pitched, 0.93, and is striking out more than nine batters per nine innings pitched. So basically, if he was to go a full game, you could kind of extrapolate. He's a 9-1, nine strikeouts to one walk. You did face the guy that was top in the conference in ERA this weekend in Oklahoma State. The second guy, though, Cole Larson at Kansas, is putting up some ridiculous numbers. He's throwing a ton of innings. I believe he leads the conference in innings pitched at 42.
Jeez.
I think he's played in six games, whereas Monteverde's played in four. But still, that means he's averaging seven innings per outing. Mm-hmm. And even through 42 innings, he's got a 0.86 ERA. His opponent batting average is just a little bit higher than Monteverde's at 197, but he is striking out two more batters per nine than Monteverde is. He is a little over 11 strikeouts per nine. So, update on some of the stats we gave last week. Texas Tech has dropped two spots in terms of walks earned. So they're fourth in the country in walks earned. Jace Young leads your team on that and is second in the Big 12. The team is also 12th in on-base percentage in the country. Jace Young, again, second in the Big 12 there. You are first in the country in double plays turned.
So
again, looking at Jace Young on defense at least, you've got 22 double plays in 20 games. You are eighth in the country in home runs, where your team leader, Jace Young, is tied for first in the Big 12. He's also first in slugging percentage at 0.806, because of course it is. This is Lubbock. Seventh in total runs scored. Jace Young is first in the Big 12 in RBIs.
Yeah, you have a lot of good points there, even defensively. It's kind of Young's team. I mean, I know Wilson's made some killer defensive plays lately, but...
And Parker Kelly at third. Like, if we could get Kelly's bat to be more consistent, that infield would be ridiculous. If you're looking at either Rombach or Stillwell at first, because both of those guys can rake. Jace Young at second, Cal Conley at short, Parker Kelly at third. Right now is like the weak link. And then you get Fulford or Rombach behind the plate.
Which both of those guys have really done well. I mean, Rombach especially with his bat. But Fulford, I think he gunned down somebody this week. And I think they've just played well at the catching position too.
Yeah, you're not seeing as many pass balls as you did. Obviously, again, you look at the opening weekend, there were a lot of things to clean up. I think you've seen that. You've cleaned up some of the errors, the pass balls, wild pitches. You're batting a lot better. So Jace Young as a repeat freshman or COVID freshman, however you want to denote that, is just carrying this team, which is a good team to carry. I mean, it's not like he's just the best player on a bad team. Like, this is a really good team. Top 10, top five, depending on which polls you're looking at.
It's, if he has a bad day, it's not the end of Tech baseball.
No,
you know, if he has a rough day or a rough series, Tech can pick up some slack. But man, yeah, he's a great talent.
Yeah. So Young is batting 403 right now on the season. He's the only batter over 400, but real close behind him is Drew Baker. Your leadoff batter going 395. Like, that's the kind of average you want out of your leadoff. Young's on base and slugging is 1327. Like I said, leading your team in home runs at eight. Rombach is closest with five. You've got two players with four, and Conley and Fulford. Cody Masters has three. And a handful of others just have the one. Jace Young leads your team in RBI. Of course, if he's leading the conference, he's leading your team. 29. Conley's got 22. Rombach has 18. As a leadoff hitter, Baker's gonna not gonna have those same kind of numbers. He's got 9, but that's only when the batting order turns over and somebody's ahead of him that's on base. Yeah. So, Jace Young, it's a good pickup there from San Antonio.
pretty decent.
Your no duh statement for the night. Like I said, I can't get my conjugations right. You will be hosting South Florida this weekend. I couldn't tell you one lick about them. I would point you over to Dinger Derby and Red River Dugout. They're going to have you all squared away. In terms of your preview for the weekend. Let's see really quickly. They are 9-9 on the season, 7-6 at home, 2-3 on the road. They've played games against Florida Gulf Coast, Florida A&M, Stetson. They had a game scheduled against Florida State, but it got postponed. Florida Gulf Coast, Stetson again, Florida Atlantic, and North Florida. So not really strong competition there on their schedule. Say Stetson was once good. Florida State, it's decent, but they didn't play them. So fairly untested team coming in. And even then, only a 500 record. So you've got an opportunity to improve on your 16-4 record. Yeah.
Not too bad.
Doing math on the fly. We're good here.
You're doing it. You're fine.
No basketball this weekend. So baseball's what you got. Unless you're going to sneak into some football spring practice, which, Michael, you want to talk about some football?
Yeah, let's do that a little bit.
Yeah, I think it's I think it's time.
To get to the right sideline, breaks the tackle. He's got running room at the 30, the 35, 40. He's the midfield, the 45, 40. He may go. 25, 10. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
Davis Webb, the freshman. Screen.
Shotgun from the 28. The throw goes to the right side for Crabtree. It's caught.
He's the Red Raider. Unbelievable. Michael Crabtree has done it.
Let the scoring begin.
All right. So, only a couple things in football. You've got your spring practice notebook over on Stake in the Plains. If you haven't seen that yet, be sure to check it out. Biggest news is that Tyler Shuck is on campus and participating. He is practicing with the team. If you were looking closely, there was a quarterback highlights hype reel video that came out over the weekend, or maybe it was Monday or Tuesday. He's in there throwing. Mm-hmm. He's the one not wearing shoulder pads because he's early on in his participation with Texas Tech, whereas the other guys have a couple of practices ahead of him. And like I said, his official roster picture, or that was released with the promo, it said that announced his arrival. He's got a good head of hair on him, man.
Oh, he does.
As Kyle put it, elite lettuce.
Yes. As a very bald man, I can, you know, sometimes my judgment of hair is probably a little bit too positive just because the people that have it, I'm thinking, oh, that's great. That's some good looking hair. My hair was terrible. I don't miss it. It was just a mess. But yes, fully agree with Kyle's assessment of the elite lettuce.
So I've only known
you. Proud to have that back on the turf. Anxious to see how it looks in the Lubbock wind.
I've only known you as a head shaver. I've never seen you with hair. So I can't even picture what it would look like right now.
Oh, it was so bad.
So yeah, like I said, he's on campus. Michael's got a note here. He's will only miss 2 of the 15 spring practices, which is a lot better off than I thought. I didn't think he'd be able to get here till after the term was over, early summer, late spring at the very earliest. But no, he shows up in campus end of March, ready to go. We'll hit 13 of the 15 practices.
And according to Seth's post, I think they had last week was supposed to be spring break, but wasn't technically. But I think they had some practices off last week. So that may be what helped him not miss as many as it seemed like he might have coming in right now.
Yeah.
Think he'll start? You think he'll start? Are we going to talk starting quarterbacks?
No, not yet.
For the next 6 months? Is Barry Morton going to start? What about Donovan Smith? Donovan Smith going to start? Is Matt McIver going to surprise everybody? Is Columbia just going to just win everybody over? What's going to happen, Spencer?
So if you look at that video that Rob Bro retweeted and I responded to Rob Bro, that basically showing some quarterback highlights about just them slinging it. It's like, you know, knowing full well, this is coming from the football department, the football team and their Twitter account, that it's fully edited and we're showing parts of clips of the best plays.
With no pressure.
No pressure. I was like, oh boy, those guys look good. I was a little too excited.
Look at them out there slinging it. Just look at them. Look at them.
They look good, man.
Ooh, bowl game. Here we come.
So if you want to talk about starting quarterbacks or the rotation there, my man Seth has got Shuck first, then Donovan Smith.
I like this.
I like it too.
We've kind of hinted it. I don't know. I'm a little bit bullish on, is bullish good? Maybe I should figure out what that is. Bullish good?
It's either that or bear.
I think bearish,
bullish is better.
I would buy stock in Donovan Smith if I could. I'll say that.
Bullish versus bearish.
I don't know. I just hear people say, well, I'm a bit bullish on that. And I'm like, I always assumed it was good, but I never looked it up.
Okay.
Is the bull market good?
A bullish investor believes that the price of one or more securities will rise.
There we are.
So if you're bullish on Shuck, you're thinking he's going to get better and his stock will rise.
There we go.
So yeah.
See,
I'm happy to provide the definition for our listeners.
I got stonks over here. I'm just swimming in GameStop stonks.
Stonks on stonks. Yeah, man. Spring practice. If there is a public spring game, are you going? I'll probably ask you every time.
we'll see like if it's the timing of it, if it's a weird Friday afternoon or a 37 degree Saturday morning. I don't know, we'll just kind of have to see. Probably
which is
I will
possible.
Probably go
that 37 degree, you mentioned that it's 40 degrees right now.
Yeah, I think the high was 47 today, because why not?
Yeah. The other thing, some local football news is Lubbock Cooper, defensive end standout over there alongside Kobe McKenzie, who was committed to Texas Tech for a long time as the number one rated player in the country, number one linebacker especially, flipped his commitment to OU. But Kyler Jordan, who some people believe is as good of a player for this Lubbock Cooper team, grew up a Texas Tech fan, obviously here from Lubbock, committed to Baylor. So let me get your,
we don't fault the kid. Let's get this out there first. We're not disappointed that. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. I know where you're going.
So Matt Wells, early on in his Texas Tech career, said he's going to recruit West Texas kids first and then grow from there, go from there. However, we've seen not that. We've seen Texas Tech and Lubbock kids get the preferred walk-on treatment in February, like a week before signing day, which we saw, you know, you picked up a handful of Lubbock kids this year. But when you've got multiple Division I talent players in the city, whether you're considering Lubbock Cooper and Friendship and all that kind of stuff, especially when you throw in that they want to play for Texas Tech and they don't get recruited and then commit and sign with other Division I teams, especially within the conference, you're like, hey, Matt Wells, this is your backyard, man. What you doing?
Yeah, it stings. It stings even more because I'm not sure if you mentioned it yet or not, but the timing was just terrible. Jordan was offered by Baylor in late January, I think the 29th. Tech did offer him, but not until March 2nd.
He had six weeks.
Basically had 6 weeks to talk himself out of going to his preferred choice of school and, you know, talk himself into, okay, you know, Waco's a good place to live. It's, you know, it's got a good program there. I'm excited about the coach and or whatever, you know, you talk yourself into that. And then your number one choice comes back with a offer later and you're like, nope, I'm sorry. I've already talked myself into this other sure thing and I'm going to go that direction.
He would have been your first 2022 commit. So far,
got the goose egg right now.
Which, as Kyle pointed out in our Slack chat, is good for 10th in the conference in recruiting.
Hey, that sounds about right.
You usually have some guys in your class by now, but no. 0 for 0. 0 of 0. 10 of 10. All right.
And that's football.
that's what we have on football. Michael, let's wrap this up and get to what we learned.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either.
Hey, man, Little League season started on Tuesday, which is last night for me. For today, for us recording. For today, wow.
You still don't know what day it is.
No, today's Wednesday. So you remember me talking about that that team we played last year that just destroyed us? And I was like, this is the wrong division. So not the same team, same coaches. And they chose the same team mascot. I've been in contact with their coach a lot more this season. So like the relationship has been smoothed over. Like,
oh, there you go. That's good.
We've talked, we've chatted. We were joking
patch
around
up.
Pregame. Like he said, I know this is ridiculous. This is like at lunch on Tuesday. Like, I know this is ridiculous, but the guy that's keeping our books at the game tonight wants to know if you have your lineup card ready. I was like, I don't even know who's coming to the game tonight, man. Just kind of joking around. We had all 12 of our kids there. I was like, whoa, I think it's the first time we've had all 12 kids together since like our first practice, which is really sad. But because this feels so wrong, but because I've lowered my expectations and I held this coach and this team up on a pedestal, losing by 10 runs last night, I did not leave frustrated.
You just kind of
like knew it was coming. And when we got down to our final at bat and we had our weakest three batters up, I was like, all right, guys, start packing up. I didn't say it, but I was like, pick your stuff up. Let's get ready because there's a game after us. We got to get off the field. Like it wasn't out of frustration. I was just like, I just saw it coming. And what happened? We had three straight strikeouts again. We have time to work with these kids. We'll get better. Lost 16-6. Proud that we got six runs. I was happy. Like we made some really good plays. They got 16 runs because we let them score 8 runs in the second inning And most of that was because they lost focus. Like, they scored two runs in the first, and then we tied them in the first. It was like, who's here to play baseball, man? Let's go. But here I am yelling, and all my family's asleep. I was like, we're tied with the Rockies after one inning. Oh, no, but I was like, I was
taking this to the wire, baby.
I was trying to keep the kids engaged and excited. And then like, he just lost focus and like things that we're going to start working on at practice tomorrow. But like, we gave up 8 runs and then we hit the weak spot in our order. And I gotta figure out how to get a good little league lineup. Cause like, one, you want your best batters to bat the most, right? So like, you don't want to like split up all your good guys and put them, you know, throughout the lineup. But also like, there were stretches where we would go 2 innings and have 6 straight strikeouts. Like we played 5 innings, and I believe our 2nd and 3rd innings and then our 5th innings were all strikeouts in like in consecutive batters. So maybe we got to break that up. But like, I don't want to put our best batter. I don't want to break up our best batters. So anyways, we got some learning to do. We got some consistency to find in terms of our batters. Defense at this age, it is what it is. They didn't do anything egregious besides just not pay attention, which they're 7-year-olds. They're 6 and 7.
Yeah.
I mean, like, when you see him play, you're like, oh man, some of these kids are really good. And then you realize like some of the kids on these teams will turn 9 during the season. Whereas Grayson won't turn 7 until the fall. Like, there is a big age group here.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, he missed the cutoff of playing in modified T-ball again by 2 weeks because they do the school age cutoff. So they're looking at school age 7 and 8 year olds as of September 1st.
That's a wide range. I mean, there's a lot of difference between a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old.
Well, here's the thing. We've got 2nd graders and kindergartners on this team.
Oh man.
So it's like, it's just hard to keep all them together. It's hard to keep them focused too.
Yes.
So got to figure that out. Going yard really quickly. I mowed again today and it was glorious. I loved it. It's great. Lawn's coming back. The front yard is still like, it looks the worst it's probably ever looked, but it's coming back. I didn't notice while I was mowing today, my neighbor who has Bermuda, who scalped it a few weeks ago, I was looking, I was like, it's coming back too. Look at that.
Well, I think the big freeze killed our shrubs.
Oh no.
I think they are dead. So I'm kind of putting off the inevitable of probably having to dig them up. So we'll see how that goes. But for me, on what I learned is I am determined to make some homemade hot sauce. So not by, salsa.
Okay. I was about to say by hot sauce, do you mean salsa? But no.
Yeah. I mean, actually hot sauce, because Allison got me a great gift for Christmas, which was just a box with some seasonings and some dried peppers and some bottles and vinegar and stuff. And it was some recipes to how to make your own hot sauce. And so I made 2 of those recipes and neither of them were very good. And I don't think it's my fault, because I swear I was following everything exactly right. But all the peppers that were in it were dried peppers. And so I wonder if they just aren't packing as much of a punch as I would want. So I think my solution is to make some hot sauce with some fresh peppers, which I plan to take a stab at this weekend. I've got a couple of recipes in mind. It's kind of hard to find peppers that aren't, you know, like the standard 5 that you see everywhere. If you're looking for even red jalapenos, those are kind of hard to find. But there was a red jalapeno sauce where you roast the red jalapenos before you add like garlic and onion and tomato and some other stuff, and then you make a hot sauce out of that, and that sounded really good to me. And then there's another one I'm looking at doing, which is a habanero cilantro. So I've got some recipes and I'm going to see how it goes, and I may never do it again because I might I'm not sure how it's going to be like boiling 30 habanero peppers on the stove after they've been chopped up with a food processor. I might run out every single person in the house. Paint might peel. I may not have any nose hairs afterwards. I have no idea how that's going to go. So it may be a one-time deal, but she planted the seed and I'm like, I'm determined to make some good hot sauce at least once.
Do you have like a turkey fryer, like one of those outdoor burners you could boil?
I sold it recently.
Oh,
I sold it recently.
That's on you then,
yeah,
I guess.
I used to though.
Yeah. So that sounds interesting and like something I'd want to do, but I'd want to know the sauce I'm making before I make it. So like almost want to have like this is a spoof off of Louisiana hot sauce. If you like Louisiana hot sauce, this is what you want to make or something similar to that.
Well, they have some like that, but the trick with them is several of these recipes require you to ferment the peppers for 7 days. And I'm like, hey, one step at a time. Let me try to just make it, because everyone, I'm like, oh, this is a Cholula copycat. I was like, okay, first off, you ferment the things. I was like, okay, I don't need one that ferments. I need to cut out some steps. I can get to fermenting later. But there's a Louisiana style one. And there was a Frank's Red Hot one basically that was just cayenne.
I like that one too.
Right. And that's the one I really wanted to do. But it's surprisingly hard to find cayenne pepper in Lubbock. So I don't know if I need to go to a certain, you know, a special supermarket or what, but like, it's like
you need the cayenne peppers themselves and not like the powder?
Fresh cayenne peppers. You can't just, I don't think you can just walk in and get you a bag of those, but
no. So I've noticed that too, when I've tried to make chili before, they always call for some kind of specialty peppers. Like, I know the produce section has jalapenos, habaneros, and serranos.
Yes.
Like some of them are like, you need some guajillo and like ancho or arbol. It's like you have to go to like the specialty Mexican spice aisle and they're dried. You have to like rehydrate them. And I never like that taste.
I know. And that's they tasted sweet. The peppers that I was rehydrating in that kit it's almost like it was sweet. It didn't have any spice to it. That's why I'm just like, okay, start over. Let's not do any fermenting yet, but let's make one with just fresh peppers, see how that goes. And then if I don't hate it, then I'm going to keep going and we'll see. Maybe I'll make some good hot sauce.
So if you find a place where you can find good peppers, let me know. Cause that sounds interesting.
I will, man.
Like even just to make salsa, but even like, I don't know. Maybe it's something you have to just grow yourself.
Yeah, it may get that way. And I think I could handle growing some peppers. We'll see. But I would imagine I may go try Amigos sometime. And I know that there's an Asian market that might be a good one to try too.
Yeah, it's like on 50th.
Yes, right by One Guys, I think.
That sounds about right.
But I figured that those would, you know, I'm just going to go to HEB and get what they have. This time I'm going to take like three or four recipes and just, okay, I'm going to make do with what HEB has right now. And then next time I may branch out. Okay. I'm going to have to have some red jalapenos or I'm going to have fresh cayenne pepper. And I've got to get it to make my, knockoff Frank's Red Hot.
It may also not be in season for all these. So
yeah, all those things are possible. I have no idea. I'm wading into the unknown, man.
Well, let me know. Cause that all sounds interesting. I'm excited for you. I want to try it myself, but that'll do it for us this week on the 23 Personnel Podcast. The basketball season's over. We're devoted 100% now to baseball, catching this weekend against USF and moving forward. For Michael, I'm Spencer. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast and sharing our fandom for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. You can connect with us on Twitter at 23 Personnel, Spencer at Puntsuck, and Michael at Michael_LBK. And find even more great content over on stakingtheplains.com. Help us out by rating the show and leaving a review on iTunes and subscribe on whatever channel you listen to podcasts. remember to tell your friends about the show. The guys will be back next week with another episode. And until then, guns up and let the tortillas fly.